Hello and welcome to BIX is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of BIX Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the BIXography website. In the BIX is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of BIX Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of BIX's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. We have been discussing Muggsy Spanier in connection with the recording of Cradle of Love by Ray Miller in the BIXography Forum. Therefore, I thought it would be useful to devote one of the WBIX programs to recordings by Muggsy Spanier. First, let me read the biography of Muggsy Spanier from the New Grove Dictionary of Jazz. Let's see. It says, Francis Joseph Spanier was born in Chicago on November 9, 1906. He died in Sausalito, California on February 12, 1967. He played cornet from the age of 13 and began his professional career in 1921 with Elmer Schobel's band. He was first recorded in 1924 and performed with several Chicago dance bands until 1929, when he became an important member of Ted Lewis's orchestra. In 1936, he joined Ben Pollack's group, but a serious illness, partly the effect of alcoholism, forced him to leave in 1938. On his recovery the following year, he organized his ragtime band, an 8-instrument Dixieland group that included George Brunis and Rod Kless, with which he made a series of 16 recordings that contributed substantially to the New Orleans revival of the 1940s. The group performed in Chicago and New York, but was forced to disband through lack of commercial success. Spanier briefly rejoined Lewis, led a recording group with Sidney Bechet called the Big Four, and played in Bob Crosby's Dixieland Big Band. For a short time, he led his own big band, modeled on Crosby. This is 1941-1943, but thereafter he played and recorded almost exclusively in small Dixieland groups, usually as their leader and often with Earl Hines, 1950s. He toured Europe in 1960 and retired in 1964. Spanier played in a clipped middle register style that was closer to King Oliver's than Louis Armstrong's, and unusual for his generation. He was not a virtuoso soloist, but his strong, simple lead parts in the New Orleans style ideally suited the music he favored from 1939, and his recordings in that year with his ragtime band remained models of reinterpretative traditional jazz. Okay. Now we can get started with the music. The first two recordings that I want to play are by the Bucktown Five. Bucktown Five, a group of five musicians, of course, with Muggsy Spanier on cornet, Guy Carey on trombone, Volley Defoe on clarinet, Mel Stitzel on piano, and Marvin Saxby on banjo. These were recordings from February 25, 1924, in Richmond, Indiana. That's exactly 1 week after Bix with the Wolverines made his debut in recordings. Okay, the two sides that I want to play from that recording session are Hot Mittens and Buddy's Habits. And this will be take A of Buddy's Habits. So let's listen to Muggsy Spanier in 1924.
Thank you.
Next, I would like to play two recordings by the Chicago Rhythm Kings. Now, the dates of these two recordings, which are I Found a New Baby and Baby, Won't You Please Come Home, are incorrectly stated in Brian Rust's jazz discography. I have written about this in the Bixography Forum, and those of you interested can go and read that information. If you go to the main Bixography page, there is a link to the forum, and in the current page of the forum, there is a discussion of Muggsy Spanier and one of the postings, information about the dates. Anyway, the dates are for I Found a New Baby about April 6, 1928, and for Baby, Won't You Please Come Home about May 2nd, 1928. The composition of the band of the Chicago Rhythm Kings is Muggsy Spanier on cornet, Frank Teschmacher on clarinet, Mez Mezro on tenor saxophone, Joe Sullivan on piano, Eddie Condon on banjo, Jim Lanigan on tuba, Gene Krupa on drums. And in Baby, Won't You Please Come Home, there is a vocal by Eddie Condon. Now, I would like to read some comments, some musical analysis of Baby, Won't You Please Come Home by Marty Gross. You probably are familiar with the Giants of Jazz sets put out by Time Life, and one of them is on Frank Teschmacher. It's the complete output of Frank Teschmacher. Unfortunately, he died very young in a car accident. So here is what Marty Gross writes in the booklet that accompanies this Time Life jazz Giants of Jazz set on Tesh. A slightly different group was back in the Brunswick studio a few days after the apparently unsuccessful assaults on Sing the Blues and Jazz Me Blues. Yes, it's interesting that Chicago musicians tried to record or did record Singing the Blues on two different occasions, but unfortunately neither of the two attempts was successful, and the masters were destroyed. So we lost a little bit of history. Anyway, the time this time they tackled the Friars Point Shuffle again, as well as the Clarence Williams jazz classic Baby, Won't You Please Come Home. Again, their efforts seemed to vanish down the chute. Friars Point was lost forever, but although Baby was not issued, it was for some reason spared, and it came out on the Brunswick label in 1945. That's about 17 years after the recording. So one has to be grateful to all the jazz fans throughout the 30s and 40s so that reissues, in fact, issues for the first time of classic recordings from the 1920s became available and came down history to us in the 21st century. Let's continue with what Marty writes. Joe Sullivan's engaging saloon piano introduction is followed by the verse. 16 bars of ensemble in which Muggsy Spanier and Frank Teschmacher emerge as the leading spirits, and free spirits they are. The musical closeness of these two great talents is aptly illustrated here as they play around and off each other in instinctive communion, contrasting, commenting, supporting. It is a rare experience to hear two performers so different in style yet so sensitively sympathetic roll out so smooth and neatly finished a joint effort. In parentheses, he adds, Spanier would strike a similar chord 12 years later with another unlikely reed man, Sidney Bechet. These soulmates then split the second chorus, Spanier going first, accompanied by some appreciative comments from the clarinet. When Teschmacher comes on, he is at his prickly best, conceding nothing to custom and not much to the composer. The notes in his trenchant 10 bars stick out at odd angles, and every one of them is fired like a dart. There is no attempt here at polish or smooth techniques, just uninhibited self-expression. Eddie Condon takes the vocal on the third chorus, ending with a four-syllable burst of scat bidu-dada. In the jam finale, spurred by Gene Krupa's cowbell, Tesh Macker is once more very much in evidence, piercing the rolling clouds of sound and contrasting with Spanier's mellow blasts. Then at the end, another surprise. The fierce clarinet tacks on a sweet and limpid tag like a gentle blessing. All right, so now let's listen to these two recordings with Moxley Spanier with the Chicago Rhythm Kings in 1928.
won't you please come home? Oh, you left your papa all alone. I have tried in vain, nevermore to say your name. When you left, you broke my heart. Though we promised not to part, every hour in the day you can hear me say, baby, won't you please come home? Rito da da, baby, won't you please come home?
Very nice, wasn't it? Okay, I'll try to bring in now two recordings of Muggsy Spanier, but I don't guarantee that it is indeed Muggsy Spanier. I can guarantee that the vocalist is Annette Henshaw, my favorite female singer from the 1920s. I went to Rost and look at the bands that Muggsy Spanier played with in the 1920s and early 1930s, and here is a partial list: the Bucktown Five, Stomp Six, Charles Pierce, the Chicago Rhythm Kings, Mackenzie and Condon Chicagoans, the Jungle Kings, Danny Altier, Ray Miller, Ted Lewis, the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra. He was also accompanying various female singers such as Ethel Waters and Connie Boswell, my favorite, of course, Annette Henshaw, and also he accompanied Sugar Ellis in a couple of recordings. So now, these two recordings that I want to play are Cooking Breakfast for the One I Love, recorded on January 27, 1930, and the same day, same date, When a Woman Loves a Man. According to Rost, the musicians accompanying Annette Henshaw are Muggsy Spanier on cornet, and there is an unknown clarinet, tenor sax, violin, piano, perhaps Tony Colucci on guitar and string bass, and perhaps Justin Ring on drums. But there is a few volumes of Annette Henshaw's CDs issued by Sensational Classic Jazz and Blues reissues. Volume 7 has the two recordings that I'm going to play. And the dates and personnel for the musicians accompanying Annette Henshaw in these recordings are given by Jeff Healy. He's a blind musician who plays, I believe, guitar as well as cornet. And this is what he writes about Cooking Breakfast for the One I Love and When a Woman Loves a Man. He says, accompanied by Manny Klein, not Muggsy Spanier as alleged. Then same composition as Brian Ross tells us, clarinet, tenor sax, violin, piano, perhaps Tony Colucci, unknown string bass, and perhaps Justin Ring. Well, I'll play these two recordings and you tell me whether it is Muggsy Spanier or Manny Klein. So here is Annette Henshaw with or without Muggsy Spanier in 1930.
Baby likes bacon, and that's what I'm making while I'm cooking breakfast. for the one I love. Our life has been so nice and charming right from the start. When I won his tummy, I won his heart. My baby is happy, no wonder I'm happy, while I'm cooking breakfast for the one I love. Morning, I'll be getting up. Morning, I'll be setting up a tiny table for two. Breakfast, I'll be making his breakfast. He'll be taking his shave and his shower. My happy hour. The coffee is steaming, although when I'm dreaming, while I'm cooking breakfast for the one I love. My baby likes bacon, and that's what I'm making while I'm cooking breakfast for the one I love. Our life has been so nice and charming right from the start. When I won his tummy, I won his heart. My baby is happy, no wonder I'm happy, while I'm cooking breakfast for the one I love. but he's gonna settle down. Oh, yes, he will. So pile up your 70 mountains and rocks and trees, 'cause you're up against a thing stronger than thee. I'm a woman who loves her man. Oh, yes, I do.
Wasn't that ending terrific? Yeah, that hand show is something else. Okay. Now I'll bring in a couple of recordings by the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra from just a few days after the previous two recordings. This is January 13, 1930, and guess what? It has both Muggsy Spanier and Manny Klein, and a third trumpet there, that's Frank Guarente. There is Tommy Dorsey and Joe Yukel on trombone, Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet or alto sax, Alfie Evans on alto sax, Herbert Spencer on tenor sax. There are two unknown violins, Irving Brodsky on piano, Carl Kress on guitar, Joe Tardo on brass bass or string bass, Ray Baduc on drums. The vocals are by Scrappy Lambert, and the tunes are Congratulations by Pinker, Goetz, Green, and Stepped, and Beside an Open Fireplace by Deniker and Osborne. So, here is then Muggsy Spanier, as well as Manny Klein and Frank Guarente, as trumpet players with the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra, 1930.
Thank you.
To bring in a couple of recordings by Ted Lewis and his band. These are from August 21st, 1929. First, Farewell Blues, and then Wabash Blues. Composition of the band is Muggsy Spanier on cornet, Dave Klein on trumpet, George Brunis and Harry Reiterman on trombone, Frank Teschmacher on clarinet, alto saxophone, Ted Lewis, clarinet, alto saxophone, Frank Ross on piano, Saul Klein, another Klein, violin, Tony Gerhardy on banjo, guitar, Bob Escamillo on brass, bass, John Lucas on drums. Again, I would like to read what Martin Gross has to say about one of these two recordings. This is for Wabash Blues. The splendid combination of Muggsy Spanier, George Brunis, and Frank Teschmacher gets this 1921 standard going, starting with a verse. Teschmacher is in top form as he comes shooting up from within the ensemble with a couple of lilting comments that he sums up in a particularly graceful and curvaceous break answering one of Spanier's. This promising start degenerates into schmaltz as Ted Lewis on alto warbles the sinuous melody of the chorus, accompanied by a syrupy counter melody from the violin. But all things pass, and Spanier takes over for 36 bars in perfect taste, his soulful solo a model of composure and controlled emotion. Teschmacher's succeeding solo is a shining example of the heights he had by now achieved. The enthusiasm that consistently inspired his work is still there, but it no longer results in the overblowings and momentary awkwardness that marked his earliest recordings. He now has a consistently pleasing tone and a growing degree of technical competence. He's still a reckless adventurer, always ready to gamble everything on an unpredictable turn of phrase, but in this fully realized solo, all his daring runs succeed perfectly. There seems also to be a new lightness about his playing, perhaps born of growing confidence, as though he no longer feels impelled to get into 16 bars everything a clarinet can possibly express. I guess I don't know if he means impelled or compelled. Again, the mood is shattered as Brunis and his fellow trombonist, who was billed on record labels as Harry Ruderman and his laughing trombone, put in the mutes and guffaw their way through a chorus. Spanier and Teschmacher answer the onomatopoeic brass with brief but shining rejoinders that brush aside the clownish trombones, and Teschmacher capers happily through a downward skipping break. The last eight measures develop a lusty ensemble timber that recalls King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band, Teschmacher adding wit and grace with a few final high register swoops. Okay, that was a mouthful, wasn't it? Anyway, so let's listen then to Mugsy Spanier with Ted Lewis in 1929. Thank you. before I go to the last set in this program, I want to read a couple of excerpts that seem to indicate, or in fact show, that Muggsy and Bix were buddies. One of them is as follows, and this is an interview that Muggsy gave. "I met Bix at the Friars Inn, where the New Orleans Rhythm Kings were, and we both came down to listen to them. We met in a funny way, sort of unconscious. We'd sit around and listen to the boys, and then one day Bix said, 'I'm a cornet player,' and I said, 'I'm one too.' After that, we went out to the South Side together, and there was one place we dropped in at, where there was a piano and a drum, and we sat in with our two horns, and we played together so well, we decided we'd be a cornet team. Always we met at Friars Inn, and then we'd knocked around together." Another quote that I want to read is from Downbeat, April 15, 1943. And it says, "Off and on, most of the joints on North Clark Street housed Muggsy and his horn. Some of the guys he played with were Joe Sullivan, George Wetling, Jess Stacy, Floyd O'Brien, Pat Patterson. At Midway Gardens, at the Columbia Dance Hall, in Floodtown's band at Forest Park, the band Paul Whiteman is said to have wanted to hire in toto, the band that was so many years ahead of its time. He used to sit with Bix in Charlie Strait's band at the Rendezvous." So, clearly, Muggsy and Bix were together at various points in their careers. Okay, now for the last two recordings in this WBIX program devoted to Muggsy Spanier, I want to play a couple of recordings by Red McKenzie and I guess and his music box, or Red McKenzie, the Mound City Blue Blowers. I'm not quite sure what is the name of the band, but the fact is that this was recorded on June 30th, 1931, and the two sides that I want to play are You Rascal You and Darktown Strutter's Ball. Red McKenzie on comb and vocal, Muggsy Spanier on cornet, Jimmy Dorsey on clarinet and alto sax, Coleman Hawkins on tenor sax, Jack Rossin on piano, Eddie Condon on banjo, Jack Bland on guitar, Al Morgan on string bass, Josh Billings on drums. And it says here, the second vocalist on the Darktown Strutter's Ball is thought to be Eddie Condon. Okay, so let's listen then to Muggsy Spanier with Red McKenzie in 1931.
Rascal you, I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal you. When you're dead in your grave, no more women shall you pay. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal you.
Yeah, I'm gonna really be glad when you're dead too, you rascal you.
I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal you. I'll be glad when you're dead, with 6 feet of earth over your head. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal.
Thank you.
old lady for a meal, you rascal, you. You ask my wife for a meal, you rascal, you. You ask her for a meal, something else you try to steal. I'm gonna really be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. Down to get you in a taxi, honey. You better be ready about half after. Oh, baby, don't be late. I'm gonna be right there when the band's on playing. Remember when we get there, honey, to the stamps, I'm gonna have them on. And I wear both my shoes when the bed in jelly roll blue. But tomorrow night at the Dogtown Strutters Town.
Notice that in You Rascal You, Bugsy Spaniard quotes or borrows from I Found a New Baby. Well, this brings to an end this program devoted to Bugsy Spaniard. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I may have another program. There is a lot of recordings by Bugsy Spaniard that I have, and maybe I'll have a part two sometime in the future. Well, let's get back to Bix now. We have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.